Over, you'll be greeted by Wallace Beery.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen and children. Well, here's the keeper of the old Shell Chateau. We're back again and we're all raring to go. We've got a great show. We've got comedians, we've got opera singers, we've got racing drivers, we've got over everything. Over there is Georgie Jessel. If you like to laugh, why, you like Georgie. Con Conrad is also here, you know. He's the famous songwriter. And we're especially honored to have Helen Jepson of the Metropolitan Opera Company. You know, it's a great thing, that Metropolitan. It's really the Shell Chateau of the opera business. Get that one? And there's Fred Frame, you know, the famous racing driver. He's won the Indianapolis races and so forth. He goes out and drives 2 miles a minute all afternoon, doesn't think anything about it. And a very young fella, a movie actor, Mickey Rooney. He's going to play Jim Hawkins in Treasure Island with me tonight. And I know it's a story that you'll all love. Victor Young is here. That's the little fella back there. We call him Handsome Victoire. Victor, he's going to do a little work. He and the musicians and 8 singers besides. We call them an octet. Other people call them other names. But tonight we're willing to call them mutineers. Because when they get to Treasure Island, why, they all turn into pirates, even the tenors. Now we're going to sing one of Con Conrad's tunes, Midnight in Paris. Whip up, Skipper. Let's go. The famous racing driver. Before I bring him out here in person, we'd like to show you how he spends a nice, quiet afternoon on the racetrack.
Indianapolis Speedway, the 500-mile classic.
There goes the starting bomb. The pace cars charge around the track. The racing cars follow. 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 miles an hour. The pace car turns off. The flag drops and they're off. They're up to 100 miles an hour before the first turn. 33 cars side by side trying to get through that narrow hole. One false move here and they'll all crack up. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. There. They're around the turn and they're safe. Now they're going 2 miles a minute. Look at those 3 cars down there. One car fighting to pass the other. The third car coming up fast behind. Watch for an opening. It's Red Train driving that third auto. It's his famous Miller front drive.
Oh, the two cars ahead of me were skidded on the oily pavement. One car shoots to the right, one dives to the left, and Fred Frame in the middle dices through the hole. There he goes. He's won, the winner, Fred Frame.
And now Wally Beery presents the famous racing champion, Fred Frame.
Come on out here, Freddy. Come on, Fred. Hello, Fred. I'm glad to see you again. How in the world did you ever get started in the racing business, Fred?
Well, I used to race on roller skates, Wally. Then I raced on bicycles and motorcycles and finally built myself a car and started in automobilism.
That's the way you start. Well, how many races have you won altogether, Fred?
Oh, possibly between 150 and 200 races and taking a lot of seconds and thirds. And nowadays they pay as far back as 14th place. And if you the only way you can lose in those races, you have to crack up.
Crack up? Oh, I suppose you've done that too, huh?
Yes, more than once. I've rolled over and slid off the track and gone through a couple of fences and leaned up against the telephone pole for the finish upside down.
Well, wouldn't I look cute on a telephone post upside down? Well, anyway, it's not as good as first place. Now, how do those crack-ups happen, Fred?
Well, they come, Wally, when you don't judge your distance or speed correctly or when you misjudge the man you're passing. When you're both coming down the straightaway and you cut in for the turn, you have to guess whether he'll slow up and let you by. And if he slows down, okay. If he doesn't slow down, you get hit.
Oh, boy. Well, how do you know whether he's going to slow down or not?
Well, you sort of have to guess at that. If he's cracked up a few races before, he'll probably lose his nerve. And if you guess right, you may win the race. And if you guess wrong, you'll probably wind up in the hospital.
That's just my luck. I always was a bad guesser, Fred. You know, I suppose some drivers take more chances than the others.
Yes, they do. There's a lot of difference in the way drivers drive.
Yeah, well, listen, Fred, now when you're racing and you go around a turn, I've seen you sort of jiggle the wheel back and forth. What in the world do you do that for?
Well, one of the hardest things in racing is to keep the back end of the car behind you. So, believe it or not, when you're turning your car to the left, you turn the wheel mostly to the right. You give the wheel a little flick to the left, and then the car skids around a little bit sideways. Then you turn the wheel to the right to correct it. And if you keep the wheel to the right, you keep the back end of the car in the back. Is that clear?
Well, you got me there. That's just about as clear as mud. Now, wait a minute. When you turn to the left, why, you turn to the right. Because you want to keep the back in back of the front. Otherwise, you get the front and back of the back and the back and back of the front. Is that clear?
Absolutely.
Well, maybe it is to you, Fred, but not to me. But tell the folks all about that hard luck that Ralph DePalma had, huh?
Well, Ralph DePalma raced at Indianapolis many years ago, and he was about 7 miles ahead of the rest of the cars. And on his last lap, he ran out of gas. The mechanic jumped out of the car and pushed the car across the line. The rules say that the car must finish the race under its own power. And DePalma, being seven miles in the lead, had nothing to worry about, he thought, toward collecting that $20,000 in prize money, except just a little gasoline.
Yeah. Well, now, maybe if he'd been using Shell, he might have stretched his glide a little bit, you think?
Well,
Well, anyway, Fred, I'm glad you're here in Shell Chateau. I want to ask you one more question. On the racetrack now, you're driving a car 2 miles a minute every week of your life. How do you drive when you get out on the street, you know, in traffic?
Well, I drive carefully. I'll tell you why. When a person drives fast, they're taking a lot of chances, and nobody knows better than I do. And I don't mind risking my neck once in a while if I can make around $30,000 in an afternoon.
Neither would I.
But, when I see someone out driving recklessly with women and children around taking $30,000 chances, and not getting any good out of it, I feel like telling them to go on out on the racetrack where they'll get paid for it.
I've had many a motorcycle officer tell me the same thing. And thank you. Thank you, Freddy, for coming down. That's very sweet of you. Thank you.
Don't you sometimes have this happen to you?
All of a sudden, I'm almost out of gasoline. I look at the gauge and notice the tank is about half full. Then a little later, I look again and see that the gauge has taken a terrible drop. And I really haven't been anywhere.
I think I can explain where that gasoline has gone to. You've probably been doing an extra amount of starting and accelerating. That heats up gasoline awfully fast. You can waste enough gasoline in starting and warming up the engine a single time to carry you a whole mile in steady running.
Then it's no wonder the tank gets empty so fast.
Yes, especially when you consider this. 4 out of every 5 miles you drive are on short trips around town. You're starting, shifting, and accelerating almost all the time.
But haven't I heard you say that it takes less of your supershell gasoline to do this kind of driving?
You certainly have. Supershell is the first gasoline to be specially adapted to stop and go driving. It's a new type, balanced gasoline. It's economical for starting and accelerating as well as for long, steady driving.
Well, it sounds worth trying.
And that's all we ask you to do. Try a tank full of supershell and see how much longer it lasts on your regular driving.
You know, it's always nice to have a love song. You know, one of those little love songs, you like to hear people sing it like they mean it, sort of the way that you like to sing it yourself to someone that you like. Well, here's Jack Stanton and Peggy Gardner to sing one of those songs. Victor Herbert, he wrote it. I had nothing to do with it. You all know it. It's called I'm Falling in Love with Someone. Come on, Peggy, Jack.
Hiya.
Felt before, 'tis a kind of a grind of depression. My heart's acting strangely, it feels rather sore. At least it gives me that impression.
My pulses leap madly without any cause. Believe me, I'm telling you truly.
Jessel. Georgie Jessel. Now, what more can I say than that? He's a great actor, a great singer, a great comedian, and a sweet fellow all around. He's famous from coast to coast. He's here in Shell Chateau tonight. Come on, Georgie. Walk on.
Thank
thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you, Wally. It's really a great pleasure to be back here at Shell Chateau. I'm very fond of it. I'm very fond of Wally Beery. I'm fond of Al Jolson, too. Another... Well, I mean, if a fella gives you a job, you gotta like him. You know what I mean? As a rule, I try to make my little radio recitals when I do. I like to talk on current events. But, of course, out here, everything is football. That's all. I never heard such things. Football, football, football. 8-5, lay 8 points. Oh, that's all you hear is football, you know? Of course, I'm terribly interested in football. I come by my love of sports naturally. I'm an old college man, you know. I'm an Odessa man, 55. And, speaking of football, we were over at the fraternity house the other night. Some of the boys that belong to the same Kappa Beta Phi Schlepper that I do. And we were talking about the old football games. I'll never forget the day we beat Minsk. What a game that was. My uncle was the halfback on how he played. Ran 40 yards with the ball in his beard. Oh. That was in the first quarter because they called the rest of the game off. He sold the ball and there was no need to. We don't play football in the family anymore, though we found out it was made out of pigskin and we gave it up. But anyway. But. Hello. Oh, you ain't heard nothing. Anyway, I was out there today cheering for the homeboys because, to tell you the truth, I mean, I made notes about this. I'm a regular native out here now, you know. I wear white trousers and an open shirt every day, even when it's snowing out here. And, but it's like everything else. When you stay in a place and you make friends, by gosh, you love it. And what a great feeling that is to have a love of country. My uncle knew a fellow by the name of Goldfarb, an Egyptian. And this Goldfarb, he came to New Hampshire many, many years ago, and he settled there. Anyway, he went to New Hampshire, and he made a lot of money. But in the passing of the years, his wife and his daughters, who were socially ambitious, you know, nouveau riche type of people, they decided they wanted to live in England, if you please. Oh, dear Daddy, let's go to England. So they went over and spent quite some time over there, and after a while, the wife and daughters insisted that Goldfarb acquire himself a title, no less. A title for Goldfarb. Well, they sent for a very distinguished gentleman to give him the data how to go about getting this title over there, and the Englishman explained to him. He says, "My dear sir," he says, "if you wish to acquire an English title, sir, of course, you must become a very, very useful member of the community, don't you know? You must donate to all the charitable causes. You must learn the history of the country, and most important of all, sir, you must acquire an English accent." And Goldfarb said, "Listen, I'll be useful to the community. I'll give to every worthy cause. I'll learn the history of the country. But I wouldn't change my accent. No, sir. Once a Yankee, always a Yankee." Well, sir, I hear a phone ringing because that's the cue. No, I wonder who that could be. We'll see. Hello? Hello, yes, this is Shell Chateau. No, well, you must have the wrong number. I don't quite understand you. Well, I'm off his... That's very... I don't understand. Well, I'm sorry, lady, because you're not speaking English. Because I have friends who do, and I would know it, don't you see, right? Oh, this is you, Mama. Well, well, well. How are you, dear? Oh, you say you just came home from the football game? That's what I thought. Well, how was it? Enjoy yourself? You did, but you would have enjoyed it better if you had brought along your china closet. But what good is a china closet at a football game? Oh, you left the tickets in the china closet. I see. Oh, you went home and got them, and you just got to the game for the last quarter. Well, that's too bad, Mother. It wasn't? Oh, the score was nothing to nothing, so you didn't miss any. All right. Tell me something about the game. Oh, you say Cousin Milford played a great game. Is that so? He gained a yard. Well, that's good. It was no good. Why not? He gained a yard. Oh, he lost a foot. Well, that's all right. What are you going to do tonight? Oh, you're going to Mrs. Osatti's silver wedding. Well, that's fine. Well, you give Mrs. Sardisetti my love and wish her 1,000 congratulations. Well, wait a minute. How can they have a silver wedding? They're only married 4 years. Oh, they need silver. Well, all right. Tell me, how is Willie behaving himself? How is he? He's a bad boy. What did he do? He put a lit firecracker in Uncle Morris's pocket? Well, that's no good, Mother. Was Uncle Morris hurt? You don't know? They didn't find him yet? Well, look, how is Anna? Oh, she just got in. Again out with that fellow. We'll put her on. Hello, Anna. How are you? Look, Anna. What's going to be with that fellow? Is he going to get a job? That is nothing that I can... I went to the department store where they fired him. Yes, I told the manager. I said, please put him back to work. What happened? The manager picked me up bodily and threw me out of the store. Now tell that to your fella. Did you tell him? What does he say? I should go back there again. They can't bluff him. Now look here, Anna. You're my sister and I love you, but I can't stand him. He's good-hearted. Well, what makes you think he's good-hearted? When he walks in the street, the dogs lick his hands. If he'd eat once with a knife and fork, they wouldn't do that. Well, I tell you... You want me to do what? I should be sure and give your regards to Mr. Beery. Well, I certainly will. I should tell him that you like that picture where he spoke like Grandpa? What picture did Beery speak like Grandpa? Oh, V. Phil Villa. Oh, yes. He should have used me in his last picture. What could I have played? O'Shaughnessy's boy. All right, Mother. What? I shouldn't forget to write you every week, even if it's only a check. Well, all right, dear. I'll tell them. My mother sends her love to you, Wally, and to you, ladies and gentlemen. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to do a song, and I'll be accompanied at the piano by, without question, one of America's premier songwriters, the composer of 100 hits, including the Continental, Mr. Con Conrad. There he is. You see, Con, that's a lot of applause. You don't get paid, but, I mean, after all, it's the sentiment, you know? Tell that to your landlord. A new song, ladies and gentlemen, which is now the number one song of the country today, Mr. Conrad's Here's to Romance. Here we are, just you and I, two hearts filled with one sensation. Here's to romance for you and me, my dear. Here's to romance, long may it linger here. Here's to your charms and to your eyes that shine. Here's to your lips divine. Long may they cling to mine. I give a toast to every star above. Here's to this night, the night we're dreaming of. I drink to you and to the birth of love. Here's to romance. Here's to romance. Isn't this a lovely song, ladies and gentlemen? You know, I like songs that have got sentiment in them. Because you can do so much with a song. You can make love with a song. And it's hard to do that with most of the songs that they're writing today. Imagine you call up your girl, and you tell her that you love her, and she says, tell me with a song, darling. And you say, all right, putting on my top hat, I'm in the mood for love. And she answers, that's what you think. Well, I mean, it's silly, you know. And the songs are more important today than they ever were, particularly to the children. It helps develop their little thoughts. For instance, I was having a conversation with my little nephew the other day, just 6 years old. And we spoke about grandpas. And I explained to the little fella, I said, Sonny, grandpa's in heaven. And I said to him, if you're a good boy, someday you'll go to heaven. You know what heaven is? He said, sure, Uncle George. Heaven is when I'm dancing with you cheek to cheek. I drink to you and to the world.
A little about the weather and gasolines.
Already there's been a foot of snow in some parts of the country and zero weather in other places.
From now on, no matter where we live, we have to expect raw, colder weather. During disagreeable weather, you appreciate your car more than ever. You use your car to take the children to school, to take your working folks to the station or the office, or to go shopping. On these short hops around town, you're starting, shifting, and accelerating almost all the time. And that eats up the gasoline, particularly in cold weather. But you don't use up so much when you use Super Shell. You see, it's a new type gasoline, specially suited to the stop-and-go driving. It gives you the three kinds of power you need in perfect balance. Power for quick starting, power for fast pickup and hard pulling, and power for long, steady running. Try using Super Shell for a while. You'll like the way it makes your car behave, and you'll find it goes farther. You don't have to fill up the tank so often when you get Super Shell.
Chateau. Tonight we're presenting Georgie Jessel, Helen Jepson, Mickey Rooney, Fred Frame, the Mutineers Octet, Victor Young and his orchestra. You know, Victor does a lot of things besides lead an orchestra. He writes songs, too, and good ones. The boys are going to play a medley of tunes that Victoire wrote. Whip up, boys. You know, you... There's a lot of singers in this world. Every once in a while, you've heard of a voice so that's so wonderful that it thrills you. You know, like Crusoe or Jenny Lynn used to. About 2 years ago, people began talking about a girl named Helen Jepson. A year ago, she joined the Metropolitan Opera Company. And this season, when the Metropolitan opens, she's going back to sing some of the very biggest roles. She has one of the great voices of our time, and we're proud to have her here tonight. Helen Jepson. Come on, Helen. Helen's going to sing some of that lovely music from Tannhauser. Elizabeth Eyre. I don't mind saying it was swell. We're all proud of you, Helen, and we all love you a lot.
Well, thank you, Wally. And it's awfully nice to be here.
Now, you tell the folks what's next. I can't pronounce it.
I'm going to sing Sigouiner from Noel Coward's play, Bittersweet.
Years ago, never fear, sincere.
was beautiful, Helen. Beautiful. Thank you, Helen.
Well, now we want to do a short sketch. Treasure Island for you. Mickey Rooney will play Jim Hawkins and I'll do Long John Silver. The pirate who romps around, you know, on his wooden leg with a parrot perched on his shoulder. Okay.
Tell Petrol presents Treasure Island, based on Robert Louis Stevenson's famous novel, dramatized by Jules Eckert Goodman, produced by Charles Hopkins at the Charles Hopkins Theater, New York, and on the MGM photoplay Treasure Island, starring Wallace Beery and Jackie Cooper, and with Lionel Barrymore.
This is the story of how Long John Silver the pirate saved Jim Hawkins' life and how the boy repaid the debt. A stockade on Treasure Island has been headquarters for Dr. Livesey's men. Jim Hawkins leaves the stockade, steals the pirate ship, and returns expecting to find his friends. But while he has been gone, the pirates have captured the stockade. So Jim, all unawares, is approaching a nest of his foes. Evil-looking men they are, led by Long John Silver, the peg-leg pirate, with his parrot on his shoulder.
And a bottle of rum, we wrap them all in a mangled fight, with twice 10 turns of a hauler's bite, and we heave them over and out of sight. Billy, yo, ho, ho, and a bottle of rum.
Now, lads, all of you rally round Long John Silver and we'll find the treasure right enough.
Pieces of eight.
Quiet, you fool parrot. How can we find the treasure without a map? What's that? Are they back? Go and see.
Gonna have my head blown off?
Oh, afeard, huh? Well, I'll go. Old peg leg will tend to it. Who's there?
It's me, Jim Hawkins.
Settle yourself, gentlemen. Settle yourself. You don't need to stand for Mr. Hawkins. Jim, this is a pleasant surprise for old John. Later that.
What have you done with my friends? Where are they? Dr. Livesey and Squire Trelawney. Have you killed them?
No, Jim. We made a treaty after we found the ship had gone.
But where did the squire and the doctor go?
Now, no matter about that, matey. They won't be back now. Now, Jim, I always wanted to you to leave that Dr. Livesey and his fancy gentleman and join up with us pirates. And now it looks as though you've got to.
Yeah, you better join up, little matey. You're our prisoner.
Supposing I said no.
But you won't say no.
I will say no.
Not if you know what's good for you.
Well, I will say no.
Well, you wish you hadn't.
Steady, Ephraim.
I won't join up with pirates. I'm not afraid of you.
This boy's made us trouble from the start.
Aye. Nick Kid'll do it again if you let him live to join.
Yes, I have made trouble. And I'll make more of it. Your ship's lost, men lost, your whole business gone to wreck. And if you want to know who did it, it was I.
You, Jim?
Yes. When you planned a mutiny, I was in the apple barrel and heard you. And it was I who cut the ship's hawser and took her where you'll never see her no more. So kill me if you want, but the laugh's on my side, and I'll die laughing at the lot of
you. I believe you would, matey.
Where's the ship, you little fool?
You can cut me to pieces before I'll tell.
Then here he goes. I'll cut him to ribbons.
Avast there, Merritt. Now you drop that cutlass. You leave him be, George Mary.
Yeah, the boy ought to be killed, and quick!
I'm captain here. I'm the captain. Elected captain because I'm the best man here by a long sea mile. I say what's right.
I won't be hazed for you, John Silver.
Do you want to have it out with me? Oh, you don't, eh? That's better, George. Never a man looked me between the eyes and saw a good day afterwards.
You're going too far, Mr. Silver. If you want my views...
Well, would any of you gentlemen like to have it out with me? Take a cutlass, him that dares. I'll see the color of his gizzard.
That boy's got more fight in him than the whole lot of you. I like this boy. So you just understand King George English. The man that lays a hand on Jim Hawkins will find himself tripping over his own inside.
We won't stand for it. Not for you.
What sort of a captain are you? If you're a captain, get us the treasure, man.
Well, you seem to have a lot to say. Pipe up and let me hear you say it, or lay to.
You're pretty free with some of the rules, Captain. This crew's dissatisfied. We're on Treasure Island with no map of the treasure. And now this business of the boy.
And by the rules, we can talk together.
I ask your pardon, sir. Acknowledging you to be the captain. But I claim my right and steps outside.
Account aye.
Me too. Pirate counter.
There, according to the rules, Captain.
Well, be gone, the whole lot of you get. Well, now that they're gone, maybe I'll tell you this. To know that you're within a half an inch of death and what's worse, of torture.
Torture? How?
Well, first they take your ears off. And that's just the start, maybe.
But why?
Well, they don't take a fancy to you. And poor old Long John. They're going to kill me, too, on account of the map.
Where is the map?
Well, you'll see when the time comes. Looky, Jim, I can write everything if you'd turn about and join up with us. Why, with your spirit, matey, why, I could make a noble gentleman of fortune out of you.
Gentleman of murder?
Oh, well, now, being a gentleman of fortune ain't all killing, Jim. Now, there's your own deck underneath your feet. And doing goodness where goodness fits, Jim. Why, you and me could do a power of good together. Certain we could, matey. Certain we could, Jim.
Certain we could not, Mr. Silver.
Well, Jim, you're a lad of spirit, and I'm going to stand by you. Who knows, mayhap you'll stand by me someday. That's always been my failing, Jim. A lad of spirit.
What are they doing out there? The others?
Well, I guess they're fixing up to give me the black spot.
The black spot? What's that?
Well, it's an old custom, matey. You know, with gentlemen of fortune, when the crew gets sick of the captain, why, the captain walks the plank. But they always warn the captain in advance. That's what we mean, Jim, when we give a man the black spot. Jim, there's trouble coming. Watch out. Well, well, step up, lads. I know the rules, I do. I won't hurt a deputation.
The council has come to a decision. Silver, this is
the black spot.
Yeah. Just turn it over and see what's wrote there.
It says deposed. Very pretty wrote. Your hand to write, George. Yeah. Educated. You'll be captain next, I shouldn't wonder.
Well, you make the hash of this cruise. You bring us here, and where's the treasure? Lost. And why? Because we haven't got the map.
Well, is that all the grievances?
Enough, too. Where's the ship? Make the bar tell. Cut it out of it.
Oh, no. So you'll cut her whereabouts out of that boy with a cutlass, will you? Why, you're doing away with your trump card. He's a hostage, ain't he? How can they hurt us when he's here?
Oh, what's the use of any of this stuff if we haven't got the map?
Now, hold up there, steady. Now, you all take a look at this.
Thunder! It's the map.
Look, J.F. Flint's initials where the code hits like he always signs.
Dad, don't you see you can always trust Long John Silver? We've got the map. Come now. Who's captain of this crew?
Silver forever! Trust old Long John!
Thank you.
so Long John Silver put down the rebellion of his pirates and saved the life of his little friend Jim Hawkins. But he could not get the best of Jim Hawkins' friends, Dr. Livesey and his English gentlemen. They captured the pirates, found the treasure, put Long John Silver in the brig, and sailed for home. Because he's the pirate chief, Long John is to be hanged. He is to be hanged tomorrow. But he still has a plan to save his own life and get his share of the treasure. The treasure hold is next to the brig. Long John has cut through the wall, taken some of the gold, and hid it in his cloak. And now that Jim Hawkins has come down to the brig, Long John is playing on the sympathies of the boy.
Where are all the others, matey? No one up on deck?
No, they've gone away. Over to the Navy boat to arrange for hanging you tomorrow.
Who, me? My hanging? Well, matey, when I'm dead and cold and gray, why, I want you to think kindly of me. When the time comes, why, I'll give you my parrot. And she's my only friend, Jim. You take care of her, matey. And when I'm hanged, when I'm a-swinging and swinging out there in the sun...
I can't bear the thought of it, of you, of anybody.
Well, of course, it's strong medicine, as it were, for just a little infraction of the rules.
I can't stand it to see them hang you.
Now, looky here. There's a heap of fine ceremony to it. A Navy hanging? Why, the whole ship's drawn up at attention... And to fire one gun for you as a parting salute. Just before you drop. A power of dignity to a Jim.
I know, but you. I mean, the man that saved my life.
Well, we won't think about that, matey. Why, you dies and that's all. Of course, often it ain't as quick as people thinks, you know.
Why not?
Well, now you take my case. I'll be hanging out there on the yardarm with a rope around my neck. And that gives me the order to jump. And, of course, me and my one leg, why, I'll of course, be off a little balance. And as the rope, it don't get the right grip, and I imagines I'll just dangle a while and a-swinging and a-swaying and strangle slow-like. Of course, as long as I don't swallow my tongue... Which happens very rare, Jim.
It's terrible.
Then they leave you hanging there. And those on the ships passing by, they say, why, who's that old coot out there a-swinging and a-sun-drying? Why, if it ain't old Long John Silver. Now, ain't he handsome?
No, stop! I'm going to let you escape. There, the boat's at the gangway. I don't know what you'll do ashore, but you're free from here at least. You saved my life, and I'll save yours.
So be it, matey. And now, Jim, what old John's got to tell you, why, he don't know what to say.
Long John, you won't be a pirate anymore, will you?
Well, that's...
You won't steal anymore.
Just what I was going to say. Honesty is my course from now on, Jim. I promise it. Mm-mm. Well, I bless my soul.
Why, it's a bag of gold. It dropped from your cloak.
Yeah. You know, I'm glad that happened, matey. It's what I was just trying to tell you and didn't know how. You know, I cut through that bulwark into the treasure hole, Jim, and took one sack of gold.
But you just promised you wouldn't.
Well, I took it before I promised. And now that it's happened, why, it's off my conscience, Jim. The Lord knows my conscience won't stand any more, matey.
Here, take it back. You may need it.
No, matey.
But you'll have to buy food.
I'll get along, Jim. And Jim, here's my parrot.
Pieces of eight!
You hear talking? Now, you feed her good now. And you better keep her below decks when the women folks are around. You know, she gets profane a little, you know.
I will, Long John. Upon my honor, I will. Here, get in the boat. I'll help you down.
Thank you, matey.
I suppose I won't see you again.
Now, here, matey. Here. Well, lay that. Why, don't cry. You know our courses will cross again. Now, looky. The bar silver is still on that island now, ain't it? You didn't get all there was now, did you?
No.
No. Well, who knows? someday you may own a ship bigger than this. And you may want to go back to that island and get the rest of the treasure yourself, huh?
I don't know.
And you'll be wanting a mate or a captain for that ship now, won't you? Won't you now?
I guess so.
And who do you think will come hobbling along for the berth? Why, old Long John Silver. Honest John it would be then. And we'll dig up that treasure and scar the seas for all the rest of the islands with treasures on them. And we'll hunt goats. We'll fight cannibals. True, Jim. Certain we will. Come on, matey. Say it. Certain we will.
Certain we will. Goodbye, Long John.
Goodbye, Jim. Goodbye.
Jim Hawkins!
What is it, Dr. Livesey?
Where's Long John Silver?
He's escaped, Dr. Livesey. He saved my life once, and so I saved his.
Saved his life? But you fool, he's gotten into the treasure.
I know, but he's reformed now. Here's the one bag of gold he took. He gave it back. He's going to be honest from now on.
One bag? One bag? Why, the rascal got away with half our treasure.
15 men on a dead man's chest. Yo, ho, ho, and a bottle of rum. Drink, and the devil has done for the rest. Yo, ho, ho, and a bottle of rum.
A housewife reports.
Mrs. George D. Eggleston of Binghamton, New York. She has discovered a way to cut down the expense of running the family car. Mrs. Eggleston reports.
I drive our car a lot, both on shopping and pleasure trips. And I found that ever since I began using your Super Shell gasoline, I've been getting more miles per gallon. Why, just a little saving would please me, but getting all this extra mileage is a real thrill.
Well, it stands to reason that a tank full of Super Shell should last longer and go farther. It's the first gasoline specially adapted to the stop-and-go driving we all do 80% of the time. Super Shell is balanced. It takes less of it to make all those starts and getaways you have to make in driving around town. So you have more left for covering ground. Start tomorrow to get this saving on your everyday driving. You can get Super Shell everywhere, at any of the 30,000 neighborly Shell stations from coast to coast.
Next week, we want you to be sure and come to Shell Chateau because we're all going to have a marvelous time. Polly Moran's going to be here. I don't know of anybody that'd give you more laughs. Dixie Lee is coming. You notice I say Dixie Lee and not Mrs. Bing Crosby because Dixie's a star in her own right. Frank Luther's going to have some wonderful songs. And we're going to have that well-known moving picture director, W.S. Van Dyke. And also, we're going to do the famous play, The Bad Man. Well, this is Wally Beery saying goodnight, and I hope you all have a happy Thanksgiving. You know, we all have a lot to be thankful for. Friends, home, and kids, and all of happiness. Most of all, let us be thankful that there's the future ahead of all of us. Something to look forward to. Good night, everybody.
Next Saturday, when Wallace Beery presents Polly Moran, Dixie Lee, Frank Luther, and the famous play The Bad Man. Musical selections on this program included Midnight in Paris and Here's to Romance from the picture Here's to Romance and I'm Falling in Love with Someone from Naughty Marietta. This program has come to you from the NBC studios in Hollywood. Your announcer, Burton Bennett. This is the National Broadcasting Company.